So you're with the Resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the Resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 24. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show, because this week it's all about Jabba the Hutt. As always, I'm Mikey B, joined by my co-host Danya.
Hello everyone.
And we also have Evan back from JodoCast. Hey Evan.
Hey there, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, we're glad to have you back. As always, everyone, if you guys want to get involved in the conversation with us, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast. Leave a comment on our Facebook page, send us an email through our website at resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypable.com. So, welcome back, everybody. How are you all doing today?
Good. Pretty good. Still a little tired, but I'm getting over it. I've been finding I've not been waking up with my alarm, which is a problem.
It's been a week, Danya. It's been a week.
It has. I was actually reading up about jet lag and how long it's supposed to last. And apparently it can last a really long time, which that's not good for me. I really need to get over it fast.
Lots of coffee.
Oh, trust me, there's a lot of coffee in my life right now.
What about you, Evan? How you doing?
Well, I think coffee and more coffee is going to be my mantra. It usually is, but especially over this weekend since it's Gen Con time here.
Yes.
So, yeah, going to be some late nights and some very, very early mornings. At least tomorrow is going to be disgustingly early.
Are you going to go to the zoo? I saw that the zoo in Indianapolis is doing a Pokemon Lua party. Are you going to go to that?
No. My weekend is so full. I've got things just overlapping, like starting today. There are so many things overlapping already. Although I haven't been to the zoo in quite some time, it'd be fun to do, but just didn't plan on it.
But you can catch them all. Go to the zoo and you can catch them all.
Yeah, I could catch maybe a couple more than I have already, because I don't have but maybe a couple.
Wow.
I caught a lot of Pokemon when I was at San Diego Zoo. I caught a magma at San Diego Zoo. Of, like, all crazy things.
There's a bunch of Pikachus in my backyard, so...
What?
A bunch of my friends keep coming over.
I don't have a Pikachu.
They're super low level. Like, the combat power is just like 98 is like the highest one I have. And I'm just like, whatever. Anyway, I should evolve one. Anyway, moving on to like Star Wars stuff, guys. Because I know we like Pokemon Go. This is not the Pokemon Go podcast. Yes, right?
Well, does it count if we're naming our Pokemon after like Star Wars characters eventually? Once, you know, you get ones that you want to keep and don't trade in for delicious candy.
until we get screenshots, it doesn't count, Donnie. Until we get screenshots.
Okay.
Pictures or it didn't happen. Pictures or it didn't happen. Anyway, let's move on to the news real quick. So, David Prowse is back in the news again. He's been in the news a lot, not recently, but just over the years, saying he's disappointed he wasn't asked by Disney to reprise his role as Darth Vader in Rogue One. And I remember him being upset about not being able to reprise his role in Revenge of the Sith and kind of everywhere else that like they've kind of talked about Vader. He's been kind of upset that he hasn't been asked to come back. What do you guys think about this?
I mean... Sorry, Evan, you go.
Oh, no, you're fine. Well, are we doing this again or we don't know who goes when?
Everybody's so nice, so just get go, Evan.
It's understandable that he has such an attachment to it, and he should. I mean, he was doing the character when, you know, even George Lucas thought he was going to be basically a throwaway character. But I'm sorry, him thinking that he could come in and do as good a job now as he did 40-something years ago is not realistic. And it'd be equivalent to saying, hey, William Shatner should play young Kirk in the new Star Trek movies. That's just not feasible.
So here's my argument. And, you know, I like to choose the opposite, you know, opinion of most of the people on here just to kind of get a good conversation going. And I'm going to put this out there. I agree with you. I don't think he should have been there. But to his argument, what about, like, you know, Peter Mayhew, who's Chewbacca? You know, he did it 40 years ago also. know, Peter's doing a great, you know, I take it he did have a stunt double, a second Chewbacca in that costume also to help out in the more aggressive scenes that Chewie was in, but he was Chewbacca, you know, and he was on screen for all of Force Awakens. Could he not have done the same thing, had a second Vader for like the really action scenes in Rogue One and him be the one standing there with his arms crossed?
I mean, the relationship between David Prowse and Star Wars is very complicated anyway. From, like, his relationship with George Lucas. Like, it's not as though it's without its complications. So, I don't know. There at least is more precedent with Peter Mayhew that he has been in pretty much all of them when he's needed to be Chewbacca. Whereas David Prowse was in it once.
Yeah. Like, no, I get. I know, and like I said, I agree with you. And also, Peter Mayhew has also had a great relationship with Lucasfilm and George Lucas and the fandom in general. Whereas David Prowse, due to a falling out with George Lucas, you know, I went to the Wikipedia page, but you know, it really comes down to a couple different things. You know, David Prowse was promised by George Lucas in Return of the Jedi that he would actually get to be seen on screen at the end of Return of the Jedi when they take the mask off, and his voice would actually be heard. Well, in the last minute in reshoots, guess what? They got Sebastian Shaw, and Prowse did not know that. So it wasn't until the time he saw the film that this happened, and it was just like, you know, it's a slap in the face. I get it, you know? He was finally promised that he was going to be on screen as an actor, and then he's replaced by somebody else. So, you know, I understand they're falling out, but, like, I don't understand why he'd even be upset. Like, at this point, it's like, it's so far behind you. It's 40 years ago. You know, just move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, like I said, there's no precedent for him coming back. So, I don't know, maybe he's still holding out because his relationship with...
I think the precedent would be because they have James Earl Jones coming back, who did the voice.
Yeah, so, but he did the voice in all of the movies.
Right? Prowse did Vader in all the movies also. All the original trilogy. He just didn't do it in Revenge of the Sith, where Hayden Christensen did it. And that was him just raising his hands and you're going, no! You know, that was kind of it. So, you know, I get where, like, I can see why he's upset. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I want this Vader to be a Vader from Rebels. Like, the nimble one who's going to be just a full-on, like, you know, just amazing Sith Lord who's going to crush anyone. And putting someone that age, like even with, you know, Peter Mayhew's as Chewbacca, you know, they had someone else be in there for the more higher action ones, scenes, you know, the scene, having him run around, jump over things and stuff because, you know, physically at that age, he just can't do it yet, you know, do it anymore. And I think the same thing with David Prowse. I don't know, you know, I don't see him doing it, but I understand, like, it would have been nice if they had offered him or anything like that. You know, it's just a token of, like, you know, respect to it. But, oh well, he's disappointed, and Lucasfilm didn't offer it to him. I don't think it's going to change anytime soon.
I don't think it is either. I mean, yeah.
It won't happen. I'm going to shuffle the news around here, because I do want to go on to talk about George Lucas again, because we obviously talked about George Lucas and David Prowse having the fallout. The comic book artist who did the Han Solo comic book was actually asked by George Lucas to buy his original artwork from the comic book. Talk about that. Like, that is cool. You know, was it Lee Bermejo? I don't know how to say his name, but yeah, the artist who did the artwork for the Han Solo comic book, George Lucas offered to buy the original artwork from him. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, I wish I had the money to just be like, I want all of the original, like, layouts and sketches of this particular comic book that I love. I mean, that would be great. Talk about, like, real, like, it's such a nice thing to be able to support an artist in that way as well. And a way to show, like, a huge appreciation and respect for their work. To be able to be like, I love what you have done so much that I would like the originals. Like,
yeah, like he wanted to buy it from him. That's kind of cool. Like, it's like, hey, I like it. Yeah, I want to buy it. You know, he was quoted as, it's surreal as an understatement. Like, it was just one of those things where apparently Lucas, George Lucas, in something in his contract, he has a first right of refusal of all Star Wars artwork. So pretty much anything that's created for Star Wars artwork-wise, George Lucas has the option to purchase it, or to have it. I guess that's in his contract when he sold Lucasfilm to Disney. So he's got first right of refusal, and the Han Solo comic artwork was... Man, I want that. That's so cool. And I will say the artwork for the comic book looks great. Like, it's...
The cover is just phenomenal. It's fantastic. The book is amazing. Like, I'm really loving the Han Solo comic. But it's Marjorie Liu, who I adore as a writer. I think it's so good. Like, her stuff is amazing. Like, pretty much everything she's written, I'm in love with. So, between that and how gorgeous the art is in this one, it's just like, it's the perfect recipe. It's like one of those comic books where it's like, yes, this is the exact team that you would want working on this. So yeah, I'm completely like, it's so nice. I love when artists get like their due.
Yeah, no, I'm happy with this. What do you think, Evan? Anything about the artwork?
I just think the most noteworthy part is that he's actually, at least it seems like he's paying attention to the current comics, whether or not he read it or just liked the art. He's been pretty notorious, I call him Notorious GL, because he has not really, in the past, given much credence to the other art forms that Star Wars appears in, like books and comics. So, I mean, that's, for me, that's the kind of standout thing here, is that he's actually showing some appreciation for something that somebody else did with Star Wars.
Yeah, and actually that's interesting, because I don't know if you guys remember, like, right around before Force Awakens came out, there was all these rumblings and things that he didn't like The Force Awakens, and he didn't like J.J. Abrams directing it. Now, obviously, in the end, he said it was a great film and everything, but it was one of those things where it might have been, he may have made an offhand comment to someone, but he's like, oh, that's not what I would have done, or something like that. But it is interesting that he actually is like, hey, I like this enough to want this and buy it. And I don't know. I'm just like, That's the George I want, and that's the George I like. The George I like to have in my head, you know. It's this guy who, you know, appreciates all the wonderful Star Wars stuff that, you know, came from him originally. So I like it.
Yeah, I like it as well. It's just nice to see him supporting what's coming next and building on his world that he originally created, because it's nice sometimes to see it change hands, because, yes, okay, George Lucas, this was his baby, this was his, like, brainchild, but it's nice to see new perspectives and new takes on beloved things, and sometimes the people who'll have a better perspective on it in respect to how it would work with mainstream audiences now is someone new. So that's why I really like the way that Star Wars is going now. But, yeah, I don't know. I just still think that it's nice that he's supporting it in that way.
Yep, I'll agree with you on that. So, moving on with more news. There's an interesting article that came out about a new Disney interactive game at Disney World. Specifically, the Star Wars Rebels interactive game. And the cool part about it is you can actually order some things to go along with the Rebels Interactive Adventure. Like, you can get a Imperial Officer bag and hat and all these fun little things to go with it. It's called the Imperial Security Officer Disguise, and you can even get Medal of Bravery with it, which is the medal that comes with at the end of Star Wars A New Hope. And there's all these places that you get to play this game at in the Disney theme parks. So, I don't know, have you guys played any of the games at the parks that they offer? I know there was one with, like, spells with, like, the villains at one point.
That yes, sounds like a yes.
Of course I have. I mean, it's so easy for me to just hop across to Disney.
Well, I don't know. Gee, I'm just saying.
No. I have not. The last time I was at Disney properly, where I just wasn't there for like a really quick day trip in the California one, was 2012, I think.
Okay, yeah.
It was a while ago.
All right, so let me read you this from Disney's website. Imagine your rebels walking up to the resort room door to discover an Imperial recruitment banner. The Empire's there. Once inside, they'll discover the Rebel Alliance has infiltrated the room, leaving gear and tech to help on a secret mission for the Rebellion. Through augmented reality on their smartphone, Ezra Bridger from the hit TV series Star Wars Rebels guides them on an undercover mission, slipping on the included Imperial security officer disguise. They'll head to Star Tours, the Adventure Continues attraction, where hidden data they're carrying will be transmitted in hyperspace. Once the mission's completed, they'll be directed to their resort room to unlock a mystery box holding a Rebel Medal of Honor, just like the one in the film Star Wars A New Hope. How cool is that? Like, I want this!
That is seriously cool. Actually, the price isn't as much as I thought it was going to be for this either. I'm looking at how much it is for everything.
Yeah. Like this,
$141.99, and that gets you everything. So that includes the Imperial Security Satchel, cap, rank bar, several diversion tattoos, and a Medal of Bravery.
Yeah, now what's interesting is the I don't know what the pricing is right here, because it's not available yet. It's available August 15th. It's through the Star Wars app. So if you simply go to the App Store on iPhone or Android and search Star Wars Disney, the official Star Wars app will be there. And that's where you'll be able to transmit data when you're in geolocation. So you're going to do augmented reality, just like Pokemon Go, everyone. And you'll be able to, like, you'll be like, oh, by the entrance sign in Star Tours. Oh, underneath the AT-AT or the AT-AT. Oh, on the speeder bike. And you'll be able to, like, do those things, you know, and coming, like, my experience with, like, some of the other, you know, games that they have inside the parks, you probably have to stand in a very specific location, and, you know, it's the augmented reality. If you point your camera towards something specific, and some hologram or something will probably pop up. But it seems pretty cool. Like, I'm assuming there'll be, like, it looks like the screenshots I see is, like, you'll get secret messages from Ezra and the crew from the Ghost. You know, it just looks really cool. You know, if you're a kid or an adult Star Wars fan, you know, you may want to look into this if you're visiting Disney World anytime soon. So they're definitely going to have it in place for next year, Star Wars Celebration. So I'm sure there'll be plenty of people playing with this, having fun with it.
If you go on to any of, like, the items, specifically I'm looking at the security officer disguise thing. When you scroll down, quite interestingly, to delivery info, it does say local delivery to Celebration.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
And then it says delivery fee,
$10.
And then it gives you
time. Well, hold on. Is Celebration a small city? Because it has got, what's it, Kissimmee and Lake Buena Vista, and I know those are all, like,
really. That would be really weird. But I don't know. Also, if there's a place called Celebration and it's near Disney, then I wouldn't be shocked that they'd put a lot of emphasis on Celebration.
Celebration, Florida. It's a city.
Oh my god.
So,
of course it is. Is it right by Disney?
Yeah, it is right by Disney. Yeah, is it owned by Disney? It's not owned by Disney, but it is the community Disney built. The official site for Celebration, Florida, residential and commercial information. Unfortunately, I don't know Florida well enough. Like, I see it. Let's see. So it's on the opposite side of the highway. So Celebration is on the eastern side of the 4 freeway, whereas Disney Hollywood Studios and everything is on the left of that, or the western side of it, and you see the resort. So yeah, so it's Celebration is a small area that's not quite, you know, Disney. There you go. So it's not going to deliver to a Celebration Star Wars, but there's a city called Celebration. Why not?
Of course there is. Why
not?
Right by,
right?
Disney.
Of course, right?
They've got that parade song. Is it the Celebrate You one?
They have a lot of things that say celebration in it. But yeah.
Yeah, but there's one that's specifically called, like, celebrate you. Anyway, so it doesn't shock me at all.
I think there was also one, like, celebrate the magic, too. It's like, and there's a lot. Disney likes to celebrate.
Disney
anyway.
Likes celebrating. I was going to say, though, if I do end up coming to Celebration next year.
I feel like you will.
Then maybe we should go and do this, Mikey.
I think we should. I'm all for it. Like, I don't think there's anything stopping me from doing this because I'm a big kid. Although, look, I don't know if the hat might be a little tight on my head. I have a big kid head, so we'll see.
Yeah. If I'm going to come all the way out to Orlando.
We might as well, right? We might as well. We'll just go on. We should just do it.
Yeah. I mean, come on. If I'm coming all the way out there for that, I want to go to Disney for at least one day. Because, come on. Really, if I'm coming all the way out there, Star Wars and Disney, it's a must.
All right. So, moving on, there is a rumor. So, this is a rumor here. A rumor that Lucasfilm is working on a new animated Star Wars show. Well-known television writer Jennifer Murrow tweeted that she was at Lucasfilm working on a new show that's not currently on the air. So this actually doesn't surprise me. You know, Lucasfilm Animation, they did Clone Wars, they're doing Rebels, and both were great. And honestly, at this point, I feel like Rebels is kind of coming towards... I don't know how many more seasons they can have. I wish there was a bunch more.
Well, they said that 3 definitely is not the last one. And Dave Filoni did say that when you get to the season finale of season 3, you will see why it is absolutely not going to be the last season. So,
yeah, but you got to remember, if they're starting a new show, they, one, have to write the script. First, they have to come up with the story arcs for the whole film, the show. Then they start to write the scripts. Then they go to pre-animation. Then they go to casting. You know, they're going to go... There's a long process to it. You know, they were working on Rebels well before it aired, you know?
Oh, yeah, so, absolutely.
So, it's one of those things where it wouldn't be surprised if they're starting a new show now for the planned end of Rebels, which might be in 2 or 3 years. You know, and again, that's just purely speculation on my end, but there is a fairly good idea that, you know, it's been tweeted that they're working on a new project. Now, that doesn't mean that it's a new Star Wars one. She said she's just simply at Lucasfilm working on a new show not currently in the air. Lucasfilm also does do Indiana Jones. So, what do you guys think of maybe an Indiana Jones animated series?
I think that would be interesting if there was another film project also on the way, like, for sure. Like, if Indy 5 was coming out within the next 2 years, like, if we had any confirmation about that at all, an animated series would make total sense. But without that, I don't think there's any market for that, really, especially considering the last one.
Yeah, Crystal Skull was interesting.
That's a nice way to put it.
I was going to say, that is a word that you definitely just used to describe.
now I kind of want to rewatch Crystal Skull, you know, Aliens. No. It had Shia LaBeouf in it. Just do it!
Yes. It did.
You can do it. All right. Anyway, yeah.
Think of all the people that were murdered by Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. Well. All right. Anyway. So yeah, it's an interesting idea, but it's nice to hear, you know, some of these things coming through the pipeline. I'm excited for something new.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'd be amazed if they didn't have at least a giant wall of ideas, some of which are leaning towards getting greenlit, you know, for future projects. I'm sure they've got, well, what about this one? What about after Rebels? What about after the next thing and the next thing after that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see what's going on. All right. Moving on. This one might be a good one for you to kind of go into, Danya, because you already talked to me about it, but Daisy Ridley deleted her Instagram account. And it's interesting because she usually posts to both Facebook and Twitter at the same time. But her Instagram account was deleted, and it looks to be over a post about gun violence.
Yeah, so she basically just posted an image after she went...
And apparently also John Boyega's Instagram account has been deleted too.
Oh, he's deleted now?
Yeah, he's deleted now. The article was updated.
He made a couple of comments and he deleted the specific comments that he replied to. But yeah. I didn't realize he deleted his Instagram account.
So now I'm going to double check here, but it says the ripple effect of this mysterious departure has hit her Star Wars co-star John Boyega's Instagram. So I don't know if it's...
Yeah, people went to John Boyega's Instagram to be like, can you tell Daisy to come back? And he was basically like, she's doing what's best for her. I'm not going to tell her to come back. I'm sorry. And then someone else said, no, tell her to come back. He was like, I can't do that. Like, she makes her own decisions and I support her as her friend, so I'm not gonna tell her to come back. But basically she went to, I think it was like a stage talk or a show that was about some of the shootings that had happened in America recently.
Yeah, it was the Teen's Choice Awards, and
there we go.
It was a Teen Choice Awards, and they played this because it was actually in Florida, Orlando. And they basically played a video about the recent gun violence in not only Florida, but also everywhere in the U.S. She made a comment about it, which, in all honesty, I think her comment was a good comment. Just thinking about how lucky she is, you know, it comes down to, you know, she was in tears about the tribute to those who were lost to gun violence. You know, and she said that she didn't get a picture of the incredible group that came on stage, but they were brave, and it was people who had survived gun violence, and she did the hashtag Stop the Violence, which, you know, is a very popular hashtag here in the U.S. and on Twitter and different things. But it looks like most of the comments were about, not at her, but were about pro and against gun control. And I don't want to get into a political talk too much in here, but... Yeah, you know, I think of all the things, like, I understand her leaving because she didn't want to be part of a conversation like this, you know, people fighting over it, but it makes me sad because I loved watching her Instagram posts. Yeah. They were great.
Yeah, same. I mean, she is very inspirational. You know, not only with, like, her little Fitness Friday videos, which are always great, always love watching those, but... Like, when she was talking about stuff like having to wear makeup to, like, cover up her skin condition because she's got really bad skin because she suffers from a condition called endometriosis, which I also suffer from. So, having people who are able to talk about that because it's a really horrible condition that, you know, it sucks, basically. And having her talking about it, like, it was really nice to have someone out there who's willing to talk about it and bring, like, a little bit of attention to the whole thing. The fact that she didn't say at all anywhere in here, in her comment, in her Instagram, anything like that, that she wanted to take away people's guns. She literally just said, stop the violence. Which, you know... Chasing her off Instagram by basically saying, we have a right to violence, because they're not saying they have a right to guns, they're saying that they have a right to violence here. Because it just absolutely freaking blows my mind, because she didn't say take away their guns, she just said, like, stop the violence. That's it. And the fact that people are so... sort of, I'm going to say gung-ho about actually having their guns, you know, that they will literally tear someone apart for saying, I want people to stop dying, essentially. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It absolutely blows my mind. As someone from outside of America watching you guys tear yourselves apart over guns and... justifying the mass slaughter of people in your own country daily, like, it beggars belief, because I cannot wrap my head around why it needs justification at all.
Evan, any opinion on
on
Daisy leaving or gun violence in general?
Yes. Well, I will just say that people like this, people like who attack celebrities on social media. These people are looking for any reason to badger them. It doesn't even matter what the topic is or what they exactly did or didn't say. People that do this are looking for a means of drawing attention to themselves by saying things like this. These people are stupid. I'm trying to keep it as under control and, you know, all ages as I can with these comments, but
I think we all are on that same line there, Evan. I agree with you completely. It's like, I just want to put this out there for everyone here, and I'm going to let you finish right now, Evan, but one of the things that she ran off with is, you know, one of the comments were, is, says the woman who kills people with guns in movies, such hypocrisy in Hollywood, just shut up, Ridley, and make another Star Wars movie. Like, what type of comments, like, I don't get that. One, Daisy's just been nothing but amazing on Instagram, but like, seriously, like, I don't understand why they would even attack her. Like, I mean, regardless of your opinion of gun control, not gun control, gun violence, non-gun, whatever, like, I don't know. It's just
these people do realize that Star Wars isn't real, right? Like, we are in a place where we love this thing, but we do realize that this is a movie, right?
Don't you live in the UK where you can actually choose Jedi as your religion?
Yes. Okay.
So you're sure it's not real? Question mark.
Enough people put Jedi down on a census that means that it is now recognized as a religion here. Yes, that is true.
And Australia too.
Yeah.
And New Zealand.
Probably. So yeah. Evan, I think you were saying it best, but yeah, these people. I wish Daisy would come back, but I, you know, she has every right to do her own thing, especially with, you know, she can control what's right for her, especially when people are taking pot shots at her like this. Because that, like, that comment, I read it. I'd like to try to keep this as PG as possible, but I'm not going to say anything. But I just think those comments are just beyond dumb.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, she and other social media geniuses like Arrow Stephen Amell, they are extremely positive people. I can't put my finger on a negative thing that they've said in a world that is fueled on negative comments. I don't remember a single negative thing they've ever said, except maybe F cancer, and that's not really negative against humanity. No. It's negative against cancer. So it's just like, come on, why are these negative people badgering the positive people?
I mean, these same people are the people that justified Sandy Hook. So, you know, I don't know why I'm surprised. I continually am surprised, but when they can justify the killing of children, then I guess it shouldn't be at all surprising that they can literally just verbally abuse people to the point of driving them away from the internet and being able to have a positive influence at all. So,
all right, well, moving on. I'm just gonna stop. I don't want to dwell on this. It just makes me angry.
Yeah. I know.
Unless you have something else to say about that's positive about Daisy deleting her Instagram account. Yeah, you know, no more Fitness Fridays. No more her covering her. No more covering her hair. You know, like, seriously.
I want to go and find her and go and give her a hug and tell her it's going to be okay. Like, it's horrible. I just want to be like, you're doing good.
Don't listen to anyone else. I agree.
Yeah.
So the next news article is actually interesting. I pulled this from StarWars.com. It's Who is Thrawn? And I cannot say enough great things. I love General Thrawn. Grand Admiral Thrawn. We've talked about this how many times on the last two episodes. But this is a great article on StarWars.com about his history and why he's just such a badass in general. And it goes into some really good breakdowns of the different books that he made his appearance in and the history of where he came from. And why all the fans who've been fans of, you know, the Star Wars EU and everything are so up in arms and super excited for the continuation of Grand Admiral Thrawn being in Star Wars canon. Have you guys had a chance to take a look at this article that was written?
Hilariously, I'm scrolling through it now, but this is very similar to an article I had planned for just before whenever Rebels was going to premiere, I was going to do a Everything You Need to Know About Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Well, there you go. You got a nice kind of synopsis breakdown for you. It's really good because it does go down through the first three, you know, Heir to the Empire, Dark Forces Rising, and Last Command, the original ones where we're introduced to them. And then it breaks down into kind of the one-shots, like the Outbound Flight, Choices of One, Crisis of Faith, that were all kind of continuation stories of his legacy. And then, you know, Hand of Thrawn, Spectres of the Past, the Hand of Thrawn duology, where it's the clone of Thrawn and stuff like that. So it's a good breakdown, and I just can't wait till the new book comes out in April. Man, that just seems so far away. If you don't know anything about Thrawn, we've covered him a lot, and I don't want to recap completely. He is just such a menacing... He's like Moriarty to Sherlock Holmes. He's this really thinks everything through so many different ways. Like, it's just absolutely phenomenal as a character.
You think you're a step ahead of him, you're wrong, because he's playing moves that are so far ahead of you.
If you think you're a step ahead, he wants you to think you're a step ahead, but you're really 10 steps behind. Like, that's really where you're at. It's amazing the way he is written and the way he's portrayed, and just kind of what he can do. So, yeah. And the nice part is, like, some of the other ones, it kind of ties into the whole grand scheme of the EU. Grand Admiral Thrawn out in the Outer Rim before the Yuuzhan Vong invasion and all these just absolutely phenomenal things. So, I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah, obviously, if you do read this, just remember that this is all legends, so this isn't technically everything that's going to have happened with Thrawn prior to when we see him in Rebels. We're in this kind of weird place where, like, they can't make those legends novels canon because it's so tied up with, like, other characters that they have basically definitively said that no, they're not bringing them back, like Mara Jade. So they can't make everything canon, so it's really difficult to kind of parse exactly what they're going to use, what they're not going to use. The new novel will probably clear a lot of that up, especially considering it's being written by the same author. So it's going to be an interesting time, but it's a good place to get, like, a good baseline for what you might be able to expect from his personality and his tactics. So
I think the biggest thing you'll take from these books, if you do read any of them, before the new Thrawn book comes out, is Thrawn's character, I don't think, will change at all from, you know, Rebels to the new book. His character, his personality, it's going to be the same. I'm like 99% positive. It's the character traits of the other characters that we know that are part of canon, like the Luke Skywalker story arcs in all these other books. You're going to be like, this Luke doesn't seem like the same Luke that I know from Force Awakens, because it's not. That's the Legends part. But Thrawn, you could probably take as, like, that's who he's going to be. And I think that's why they brought him. And I think that's why all the fans, you know, that know it are, like, excited, because they know Thrawn as that character. So if you do get a chance to read it, if you're interested in just, like, a fun read, there's a lot of great EU books out there. I know me and you have talked about them, Evan, on JodoCast and other, and even on this show. But, yeah, it's definitely the EU has some really good books. I want them to bring some of it back and continue on to it, because there's some really good stories in there.
And I will say really quick that if you consider yourself a Star Wars fan and you haven't read at the very least Heir to the Empire, why not? I mean, it's the foundation of 20 something years of Star Wars, really. And if you do wind up picking that one up, be ready to have it be your gold standard against which all other Star Wars books are judged, including other Timothy Zahn books.
So, oh, yeah. True. That's very true.
I'm worried that Thrawn, the book, it'll still be awesome because it's Thrawn, but will it be quite the level of the original Thrawn trilogy?
It might.
I mean, it's not going to be Aftermath.
That's a very good point.
That's a very good thing.
Timothy Zahn uses complete sentence structure.
Before we move on, I have a little story to tell just to kind of encourage people to read this. So, Heir to the Empire was my first big chapter book I read when I was in second grade. This is when it came out. I bought the book at Costco.
How old were you?
I don't know. How old am I in second grade? I don't know. I don't have kids. What? Eight, nine, maybe?
It's a
chapter book. It took me a long time to read it. Like, I was a slow reader in second grade, okay? And this is not a book for little kids. Like, I remember my teacher going, "That's a really big book, Michael. Are you sure you want to read it?" I'm like, "Yes, it's Star Wars." Like, that was my response to it. And I read it, and I didn't know, like, I think this is why I don't get a lot of the character names correct. Because at the time, there were so many character names that I just didn't know how to pronounce as a second grader. And so I just made them up, and my wife's like, "Who are you talking about?" I'm like, "You know, the character from that book." She's like, "Oh, you mean this?" I'm like, "Yeah, I've been saying the wrong name for 10 years. But yeah, it's one of those things. Like, I've been reading, I read Heir to the Empire in second grade. I remember sitting at my school desk when it's like, "Okay, it's reading time now," and she gave us 20 minutes to read. You know, people are pulling out, you know, Outsiders and stuff like that, and I'm pulling out Star Wars, Heir to the Empire. And I finally remember, like, by third grade, I was, you know, Last Command had come out, and it was just like, look at, there's lightsabers on the cover. It was just like a cool thing. So it is definitely a book worth to read, worth reading. I've read it many times since then, obviously. But it is a good book series to read. It takes you right back to, like, watching the original trilogy, if you're that big of a fan. So I enjoyed it, and I hope everyone else will get a chance to enjoy at least the new Thrawn book, if not some of the older stuff that Timothy Zahn had done with him. Okay, now we can move on. Sorry, I just had to tell a little side story there, how great it is. I'm just thinking about, oh man, I remember being a kid doing that. Anyway, so have you guys had a chance to see this TIE Fighter from the Black Series First Order TIE Fighter? It's on sale on Amazon right now. So the Star Wars Black Series First Order Special Forces TIE Fighter, that's a mouthful, is on sale right now. It is big enough to hold 2 6-inch First Order Special Forces TIE Fighter figurines. So you can put, you know, your Finn and your, you know, Poe Dameron action figures inside this TIE Fighter. It's super detailed, just like the on-screen version seen in The Force Awakens. So you can recreate your favorite battles from the Star Wars universe. And it's on sale for over 50% off. It's normally like $160, this thing. And it's on sale for $77 right now on Amazon. I think $77.25. And the cool part is, if you actually click on the link to it from our website, you'll be supporting Resistance Radio. So that's a plus to me and Danya. So, but yeah, it's I think it's pretty cool. You know, it's sold by Star Wars, but it's on sale right now, and I don't think it's ever dropped this low before. I've seen it tweeted by a bunch of different people too. Do either of you guys have the Black Series? Any of the Black Series stuff?
Not yet. The only one that I plan on getting is Revan when it comes out.
Yeah, the new
Good
Revan
choice.
One?
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah.
I mean, I was maybe going to get one of the Poe Dameron ones, but just his face is so bad.
Not as bad as the Princess Leia one.
That's right.
Mean, yeah, that's true. Like, some of the Black
so
series.
So muscular. Oh!
Some of the Black Series faces are not great. I am sad to say. Like, they genuinely just... It doesn't look like Poe. I don't know. I might get some of the Black Series stuff, but I kind of have some issues with, like the faces and some of the features, so...
Well, I'll tell you this. I want the Black Series Jyn Orr's. So that one looked awesome.
Wait, what? Yeah. That's a thing? I gotta find this.
Yeah, it's not out yet. Remember we saw...
No, damn it, Mikey. You said Jyn Orr's, not Jyn Erso.
Erso. Yeah! See, too many things, legends and canon blending together.
They are
Jyn
the same
Erso.
Person.
It is, right? Jyn Erso.
I'm really excited for some Dark Forces Black Series.
Yeah,
no,
I was just
no
like,
Dark Forces
wait,
Black
that exists? I literally had just pulled Google up to look for it because I was like, what?
See, again, Mikey. I make up my own names for people. Like, I've been doing that since second grade, so, you know. Okay. I will say, some of the Black Series, you're right, the faces, but I do like the Ahsoka Tano one a lot.
Yes.
So, yeah, right now this TIE Fighter looks pretty cool. I don't know if I'll get it myself personally, just because it's still kind of expensive. But if I can find a spot that I can put it up at in my house, I will definitely get it, because I think it looks really cool.
It does. And I do really like the Ahsoka one as well. That's true. I'm just trying to cut down on stuff at the moment. I'm trying to make a little bit more shelf space.
Have you guys noticed there's just so much Star Wars stuff now? Like, it's ridiculous. I love it, yeah. But it's like, I can't afford it all.
I do now have a Force Awakens Luke Funko, and I have another Poe Funko, because I saw one at Comic-Con, and it's the one with Hot Topic exclusive one where he's got his
Is it the Luke Funko from Force Awakens that speaks all the lines he does?
Yeah! You know what? He does! It's amazing. It's the first time Funko have ever done that.
Yes. All right. So obviously, feel free to check that out. And also, if you go through our website, resistanceradio.net, and click the Amazon link there, anything you purchase, it doesn't charge you any more, but anything you purchase through Amazon through our website will give us a small, support. And that way, it'll help me get Danya to Celebration, because flying from London to Florida is kind of pricey.
It is. So, flying from London to anywhere right now is kind of pricey.
That's true. That's very true. So, moving on to our spotlight topic, we got Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, Jabba.
Does anyone know how to pronounce his actual name? Jabba?
Dasilajic.
Dasilajic Tlur? I don't know. I'm horrible at these names.
Tiur, maybe?
Tiur, Tiur.
I've never heard it spoken, just,
I've seen it written down. Yeah, I've seen it written down a bunch of times, but never actually spoken. I'm going to call him Jabba the Hutt. I like that. Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
So, that's a good nickname.
I know, right? Because he's a Hutt, and his name is Jabba, and they also have that song, Oh Jabba,
Jabba Flow.
Jabba Flow, exactly. Lin-Manuel. So we do see Jabba the Hutt. Let's do a quick recap of Jabba the Hutt real quick. So Jabba the Hutt, we first see him the very first time in Return of the Jedi. And that's where, Han Solo has been taken because we know Han Solo had owed Jabba money. And at the end of Empire Strikes Back, he was captured, taken to Jabba's palace. Now, we also see Jabba show up in A New Hope, the special edition. And if you look at it, it's very different because when the New Hope was filmed, they didn't know what Jabba the Hutt was going to look like. So it's an interesting scene. We'll talk about that. He was also part of Phantom Menace, part of the Boonta Eve classic, where he fell asleep during the pod race scene, which is probably one of the most exciting things in that film. And he also has a son named Rota, which you actually see in the Clone Wars movie that kicked off the Clone Wars series. Did any of you guys actually see the movie itself?
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Netflix. Oh, it's on
YouTube. I saw it in the theater.
Netflix. Netflix. You saw it in the theater. What? I saw it in the theater. Did you dress up too?
No, I went with my wife. She would not have let me.
Okay. So, all right. So my wife and I both dressed up for this, and it was amazing because we pre-ordered our tickets. We went to the midnight showing of it, and we dressed up, and there was like probably another 15 people dressed up. And that was it in the theater. The theater was empty. It was like 20 of us. And we're like, but it's a Star Wars movie! It was a Clone Wars animated Star Wars movie. But still, it was a Star Wars movie. And we were all super excited. It was fun regardless. But yes, he has a son named Rota that, other than that Clone Wars story arc, you really don't hear from him much more. And he owns slaves and droids. So morality of Jabba the Hutt we'll be talking about.
Non-existent.
Yeah. Morality, what morality?
Icha Chuta Solo, All right, so let's just talk about Jabba the Hutt from A New Hope. When he's added in the special edition. So he talks to Han Solo about owing him money right there at the very beginning before, Ben and Luke and R2 and C-3PO make it to the Millennium Falcon. What do you guys think of that scene of Jabba? Like, one, he looks a little weird because he's like all super tiny. But what do you guys think of Jabba's personality at that point in time? And can I guess chronologically, the first time we would see him? Well, no, I guess we'd see him in Phantom Menace, but chronologically in the original trilogy, we would see him first there. What do you think?
I don't like it. basically, I just think it takes away all of the suspense and the sort of slow build-up and foreshadowing of finally getting to see him in Return of the Jedi. I think it just undermines it completely. And it's ridiculous, because the whole thing about building up to Jabba in Return of the Jedi is just that you know that there's something going on there. You know that, you know, he's willing to hire bounty hunters to, like, get his money back. You know that he has this, he has it out for Han. You know that Han owes him money, that Han has done work for him, that Han is, like, a scoundrel and he's trying to get out of it and get away from, like, having to pay him back. But to have him show up right then, it kind of takes away all of that suspense. I think it works a lot better when you don't see him in A New Hope, because then you spend a lot of time, like, slowly building up to it, and the payoff feels so much better. Whereas just the whole scene feels out of place. It feels cheap, basically. it looks awkward, it looks weird, and I don't know. It doesn't make Jabba feel as menacing as he does as this kind of force working from the outside in A New Hope before you get to see him, because it's direct contact with him too early. I think it works a lot better when he's basically getting other people to go after Han on his behalf.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I was thinking the exact same thing. You know, he's mentioned once or twice in New Hope, and then he becomes an unseen subplot character in Empire, and then, like you said, we get that payoff. And I remember seeing Jedi as a very little kid, and seeing him finally was shocking and, you know, scary as a little tiny child, because he's a giant slug man.
Yeah.
And yeah. It like you said, that putting the scene back in, it works from a certain perspective of seeing that relationship between him and Han, like, you know, you are my number one guy, and then how their relationship falls apart after that.
Yeah, you know, the only thing I will say, like, I personally like about Jabba in, you know, A New Hope, is I remember the making of, and George Lucas and them were talking about how did they actually put the CGI Jabba in? Mm-hmm. Because at one point, Han Solo walks behind Jabba the Hutt, and we know Jabba the Hutt is a slug with a big old tail. And so, you know, at the time, you know, George Lucas said, you know, we didn't know what Jabba was going to be. We were thinking of him being more of a kind of a furry creature, like Chewbacca or something. But obviously, he turned out to be something different in Return of the Jedi. That one of his, one of the animators said, what if we had him step on the tail? And I think personally right there, like, as fun as that is, like, to be able to put the Jabba scene in, because I do like the dialogue there that they have. But seeing Han Solo step on Jabba's tail and Jabba go, you know, because he got, you know, tail stepped on, like, I feel like it takes away too much from the character of Jabba of being this all-powerful gangster. Because, like, think of it, if he's this gangster if he's a mob boss, if he's like, I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse, you know, if he's that kind of guy, like, you come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding, it's going to be horrible, horrible jokes today. But if it's going to be something like that, you're going to have Han Solo, this guy who owes him a bunch of money, step on his tail. Like, that just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it really doesn't. I can easily imagine, like, Jabba himself grabbing him with one hand
and ripping his head off.
Just beating him.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. It would be like going up to the Godfather and basically like slapping him on the cheeks and going, "They're there."
Like, yeah,
it's just it's offensive. It's disrespectful, and for someone who owes him that much money, it makes no character sense that Han would do something like that. Because it's, I know that Han is reckless, but gambling with his life that much.
Yeah, he's not stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's reckless and, well, I mean, Han can be pretty stupid.
There's degrees of stupidity. He does not fall into that one.
Yeah. So, you know, all in all, I think it's just, it didn't do any service to Han as a character, but it also didn't do any service to Jabba as a character either. And I think that relationship was alluded to enough in, you know, little snippets of information that we got building up to Return of the Jedi. So,
okay. Well, I agree with you. And I think Evan hit it on the head. You know, the leading up, you know, he's mentioned once or twice in A New Hope, and then he becomes this subplot point because that's why Han and Chewie are trying to leave Hoth in Empire Strikes Back so they can go ahead and talk to Jabba, pay him off, do whatever they need to. And obviously things go sidetracked because the Empire shows up and then Han gets captured at the end of Empire Strikes Back. And then we finally see Jabba again in Return of the Jedi. And I love how they introduce him. They introduce him through R2-D2 and C-3PO, characters we love. And they kind of, it's really interesting because obviously R2 knows the plot, you know, of what's going to happen, you know, of Luke coming into, you know, Jabba's palace and freeing Han and Lando being there and everything. But C-3PO doesn't know because, well, he's C-3PO, right?
Yeah.
So I love the interaction of them being able to come up to Jabba. And, you know, at first, you know, when you're watching it, you don't even know who Jabba is. You know, they're coming up to this palace here in the middle of the desert and there's different things going on. And they see what Bib Fortuna, you know, they get meet to him and he comes up, he's like, "Master." So like, obviously he's this, you know, mob boss who's also a master, kind of like, you know, Darth Sidious or something. You know, he's, you know, he owns slaves and other things. But yeah, so they come up to him and he's just this super powerful presence, this giant slug that, you know, it took what, three people to move him as a, when he was a puppet, if I remember correctly?
At least three. I would have guessed five, but I could be wrong. Three sounds more likely.
Let's see, Jabba puppeteers. Anyway, while I look this up, because I'm let's keep going on. So as I look this up, you know, Jabba has this, you know, this interaction with the droids. What do you guys think of how he actually talked to the droids with Luke Skywalker's message?
It seemed natural. I mean, as far as natural as a giant puppet talking to two droids could be normal, but I mean, it felt like what you would expect. It's like the whole scene, that the whole setup was lifted out of Maltese Falcon or Casablanca, because I think that's where the original idea for him came from. I mean, we sort of see him as a Marlon Brando godfather, but Sidney Greenstreet in Casablanca, very much that sort of, not really opium den, but you sort of get the idea of how that all fits. And him and the droids are, I think, funny, but it's also interesting that a good chunk of it is not in English. It's either in Huddy's or R2's beeps and 3PO, well, and the Luke hologram.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I think it's very interesting and also nice reference back to Casablanca. Like that, you know, I'd never thought of it in those terms before, but that oddly fits.
I think, wow, there's even like, there's even like sketches of Jabba with a fez.
Yeah, actually in Star Wars The Old Republic, what is it, Garada the Hutt, mm-hmm. You know, from the PvP, he wears a fez. And actually there's also a hat in what do you call it, on the second operation, Karaga's Palace, Karaga the Hutt has that really bowler hat. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a that's interesting. I like that reference. I do. So back to the puppets real quick. I did look it up. So there's three people inside Jabba, one on each arm and one commanding the tail. But there was also a puppeteer underneath the platform Jabba was on, which controlled the breathing, so the movement of the body, and the smoke. And there was one more puppeteer outside of Jabba's body controlling the eyelids with radio control. So a total of 5 people to completely control Jabba the Hutt they did. But 3 people were actually in Jabba to make him come to life.
Boom, and Evan. Look at so you
we
go.
We were both sometimes there was I three, got it. There was 3 people in Jabba and 5 people to make it all work. And the Jabba costume, the puppet. Right. We were both right. Like, come on. We all are winners. We all get a medal here.
Evan
gets the bigger medal. Yeah.
Mine's participation, okay? There you go. I participated.
You helped.
I did. The puppet was a 1 ton.
Wow.
That's ridiculous. And it makes sense. Wow. You know, there's metal in there and all sorts of different things. And
that's a lot of puppet.
That is a lot of puppet there. So Jabba and Return of the Jedi, you know, my favorite, though, is that he has, like, all these little tricks. You know, when you see Luke come out and he's like, you know, he's trying to attack Jabba, he hits a button, what happens? The floor falls out and we see this Rancor. Now, we saw that already once before with the dancer before Leia came in. But I just love that he has like this like beast of being able to like, I'm going to feed you for my entertainment to this, you know, Rancor here. But what do you guys think of him being able to have, you know, a Rancor wrestler and the Rancor itself sitting underneath him?
I mean, it's kind of that same killing for sport thing that you had with, like, the gladiators and stuff like that in history. So it's not, like, completely out of, like, the ordinary for what you would expect for a character like that, who has probably very little to no regard for life of, like, people who he would deem beneath him. And so having them fight for his in entertainment and his like idea of sport, I guess, is something that is very much within like the remit of what I would expect of a character like him. So I feel like it plays really, really well into him as a character, but also it does hark back to that idea of the Dominus and the gladiators and stuff like that, which also plays into the idea of, like, gangsters and that sort of thing. It's, like, it's just, like, a merging of all of these different, like, people who were in power in certain empires. And, yeah, it's very, very interesting that that's kind of the way that they went with him, for me. Because I'm really fascinated by, like, history in respect to, like, what they did with stuff like that. And I've been rewatching Spartacus recently as well, so that's that's kind of having, like, those connotations are, like, coming in with how I'm looking at it as well. But it's very much what I would have expected from a character like that.
Yeah, well, I'll take that, you know. It's, you know, the thing is, Jabba, he is just like, he reminds me of, what do you call it, one of the robots from Futurama, where he's just literally lying there, kind of gluttonous, and everyone just kind of goes to his knees, and he gets his way no matter what. And it really is just one of those things where he commands so much power, and I don't know how he got it. Like, there's also, like, just because he has money doesn't mean that's everything. Like, there has to be, think of, like, the Emperor. Like, think about the Emperor. The reason the Emperor commands so much power, not just, like, from Vader, is because he is so powerful in the Force. Like, you have to imagine, you know, we did see Jabba move in a Phantom Menace. I'm wondering if at one point, like, he was, like, this wrestling star or something. Just, like, he has to be strong. You know, he weighs, you know, just as a puppet, he weighs a ton. You know, so he literally has to weigh a ridiculous amount. And we know that, you know, at least from EU, that Hutts are ridiculously strong.
Mm-hmm.
So I can imagine, like, you know, to start to build his empire, you know, he had to start as just, like, a general thug-type character. And then started to amass money and power and influence and everything. But I don't know. Jabba's always kind of intrigued me as just this guy who can sit back, have dancing girls and droids do their own thing, and, you know, eat frogs.
That's true.
That's the thing. Like, he's going to eat these frogs. I don't know.
Well, and at least according to old EU, may it rest in peace, he inherited a lot of what he owns. So, like, his family, the Dasilogic family, is like the Corleones, going back a long ways. So then the question becomes, how did the Hutts themselves become this gigantic crime syndicate? And you sort of have to, like you said, you have to guess, like, did they strong-arm some people with their own hands? Sure, that's possible, but did they get somebody else to do the dirty work for them from day one? We don't know what their whole origin is, but, you know, he's made his own mark, but, like I said, according to EU, he inherited a lot. The Han Solo trilogy, the good one, not the really old one, has a lot about that, as well as Tales from Jabba's Palace and a little bit Tales from Mos Eisley Cantina.
Oh, man, I forgot about Tales from Jabba's Palace. That book is old. But that was a good one.
98?
It was a series of short stories, right?
Yeah, it was one of the anthology books.
Okay. I don't know. Anything else about
it? I guess we don't either.
I don't know either. Okay, so we'll move on from Return of the Jedi. What about in Bunta Eve Classic? You know, the pod race scene, he gets to start it off by, again, eating something and spitting it out. And he falls asleep during it. But obviously, Jabba the Hutt has had a strong reign of terror, if you will, mm-hmm. over the people of Tatooine for quite a while, because we know he's there at the end of Return of the Jedi. Luke is what? 26 at that time? No. He's 25, 26. So it's 25 years there. Plus, you know, Anakin is the bright age of 10 years old during the Bunta Eve Classic, and Jabba is obviously at the height of his power there because he's the one starting the races. So that's a good probably, what, you know, 60 years right there that we know Jabba's been around. And we know Hutts live a long time. So what do you guys think? Like, if, you know, they obviously... It's not like, you know, when you're talking about, like, you know, he's like the mob family from, you know, Godfather. He's a Corleone type character. He's not really in the sense that he's just kind of the one who everyone in Tatooine kind of is like, oh, I'm going to take it to Jabba. You know, remember Qui-Gon Jinn and, you know, Watto's conversation about, you know, the Bay. He's like, well, would you like me to go talk to the Hutts? And he's going to say no because, you know, Jabba's the prime boss here. So, like, how do you think Jabba and his organization fits into Tatooine society?
Well, I mean, it's the same thing as, like, you would pay the mob protection money, and Ooh. They would look after you, and they would take care of you right up until you stopped paying protection money, or you couldn't make your payments. Like, it's a similar sort of idea as that, I would imagine, that, you know, if he rules over Tatooine, then... You know, typically he would be able to work out petty differences and so on and so forth if it was someone under his protection. Like, so I would imagine that in order to keep amassing some of his fortune to keep some control over them, he would probably be taking something like protection money from them. And that way he gets a lot of influence and control over them, and also... You know, that's how they keep themselves safe, if they keep paying that money. I would imagine that it would be something like that.
That makes sense to me. I'll buy that. So, so this is actually interesting, because now I want to take it to the complete opposite direction. Back to the Clone Wars movie, mm-hmm. we learn about Jabba and his son, Rhoda, a.k.a. Stinky, named by Ahsoka Tano.
God.
That, right? That he has this son that he cares deeply for, and he's willing to make a deal with the Republic to help save his son. So what do you guys think about, like, Jabba as a father? Like, he shows a completely different side of himself in the Clone Wars series, and I almost think it's almost out of character for Jabba. know, to rely on the Jedi to recover, he's relying on, and it's also interesting that the Republic is even willing to work with him. Like, I think they recognize that, you know, he is who he is, but they're like, they're willing to like work with a slave trader and a gangster and this type of person to get lanes in space. Like, I don't know, but it's just, it's kind of interesting that they're willing to work with him, and he's this like caring father who's really worried about his son, when all we've seen from Jabba before that, now obviously this takes place chronologically in between the Boonta Eve and, you know, A New Hope Jabba, but like, it's a different side of Jabba we've never seen before, and I feel like it's almost out of place.
Yeah, but both his appearance in Phantom Menace and the Clone Wars movie, for my money at least, they both feel kind of shoehorned in, that they're trying to just tie back to the originals to give you a touch point and to function, at least in the Clone Wars movie, as a plot device. It's like, here's something that you understand, and here's a MacGuffin that this character that you know wants back. And it's not good, as far as I'm concerned.
Just not good. Danya, what do you think?
I mean, in respect to being willing to do things that you would not consider in order to get your family back, like, I don't think necessarily that's completely out of character. If only because a huge part of gangster films is always hugely focused on family and your family and who's going to be succeeding you, and it's very, very much like someone comes up after you and it's usually your son or that sort of thing. So that, for me, is still in keeping with this whole like gangster theme that they have going on with Jabba. But I would also say that, to a point, Jabba would probably know that the person who has, I guess, at that point in time, the most leverage in order to be able, and the most freedom of movement in order to get close enough to get his son back, is the Jedi and the Republic. Like, I would believe that he would try and manipulate a situation in order, and work with them in order to get his son back. Would he uphold his end of things for forever? Probably not. But I can buy into it, if only because it's not so far removed from like things you see happening in gangster movies anyway. And seeing as that's quite heavily what they've pulled from, I don't see it as being too far-fetched.
Okay. I will say, one of the best things that came out of that Clone Wars movie is finding out that baby Hutts are called Hutlets. But,
yeah.
It sounds tasty. It's like a cutlet. Hutlet. Oh, anyway.
No. And, of course, what they didn't address is that Jabba probably birthed Rata herself,
because herself, yeah,
because they switch back and forth depending on what cycle they're in.
Yeah, so actually, this is a little easy. Let's talk about that real quick, just as a Hutts, Evan. So yeah, at some points, Hutts apparently are both sexes, and so they birth their offspring themselves, but they don't have a mate.
Yeah.
So Rhoda is from Jabba himself/herself, which is interesting. Now, is any of this canon, or is this like, obviously he has a son?
I mean, so it could have been said somewhere, like in one of the DK guides to creatures or whatever. It could have been pointed at there. Most of my information, of course, is old EU, so maybe that's not even remotely true anymore. But then we're left begging the question, who is Rata's mother if that's not the case?
Ooh, who's running?
Do we want to even know?
Yes, maybe we want to imagine.
We do.
Just close your eyes and imagine and visualize who is Jabba's mother.
Let's not dwell on that for too long.
Or imagine the five people inside of Jabba working too. Here's the picture. Anyway, yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting to have Jabba just be these. I do like that he's been across so many different media, from the films to the Clone Wars series to just mentioned in different spots, because it does let you see a bunch of different sides of Jabba. Even though some of it I don't feel is exactly portrays him directly. But biggest thing is I love that he uses like the Sarlacc pit as a way to punish people. Like that's my, I will say, as like a bad guy in Star Wars that doesn't use the Force and it's just a gangster, the fact that there's this big old show and everyone's just so willing to go along with it. It's like, yeah, we're going to make people walk off this plank into this giant creature that's just going to digest them for 1,000 years.
It's like the space version of giving someone cement shoes.
Yeah,
just what I was like, thinking.
Walk the plank, you know. I love it. So, you know, I will say that's probably my favorite part of Jabba the Hutt. And then, of course, you know, it's interesting is when he's killed by Princess Leia, General Leia. You know, it's even mentioned in Bloodlines that there's a video recording of it, and she's kind of referred to as the Hutt Slayer. So. I'm okay with, you know, the Jabba life that he had and the gangster that he is. I do want him to be wearing a fedora and every time I see him from now on.
I really hope that they at least carry over a little bit of the one of the EU subplots was where Leia had a bounty on her that was way bigger than any bounty that had ever been on Han Solo. I hope that gets kept.
I hope that gets carried through as well. That would be great.
I would like to see that too, just because it's a fun. It would be a fun way to see them interact as a couple,
where they compete over their bounties. What's yours up to?
They want me dead more than they want you dead. I'm more important. Anyway, anything else about Jabba the Hutt?
The mystery of who Rata's mother is. That's going to be our takeaway message.
You got to remember, Jabba the Hutt also spawned the wonderful character Pizza the Hutt, too, who was delicious.
That's true. And ate himself
to death. You know what? You know those were Spaceballs, one of the best Star Wars spoof films around.
No, I know.
You didn't join in. Anyway, may the Schwartz be with you. May the Force be with you all. Thank you all for listening, and may the Force be with you. As always, my name is Mikey B.
I'm Danya.
I'm Evan.
Thanks for listening. Oh, and if you want to get some awesome Resistance Radio merchandise, feel free to check it out on resistanceradio.net. You can get a hold of Evan on Twitter at, what is it, Evan?
The Jodocast.
The JodoCast. Anyway, bye everyone.
Bye.
Thank you for
goodbye.
Listening. Oh, yeah, our resistance. Our yeah, whatever. All right, bye everyone.
Oh my goodness. Bye bye.